There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Finished one apiece over in the Spanish La Liga. That was the early kickoff there, Leganés against Atletico Madrid. Real Madrid are in action. It's the Real Derby as they take on Valladolid. That one just after 7 o'clock, 7.15 local time here in the UAE. No goal still north of the border over in the UK where St Mirren are taking on Rangers. Around about 14 minutes left of regular time there. What's happening in the Premier League? We understand that Bournemouth are defending to a man, Chris McCarthy.
They certainly are. It's into the final 12 minutes down on the south coast, the Vitality Stadium. What I can tell you is that Alexis Sanchez has just left the field to be replaced by Jesse Lingard. Since you last crossed to me as well, Tom, wonderful opportunity for Manchester United to take the lead. How Marcus Rashford and then Paul Pogba have not scored from all of 4 yards, only they will know. Some heroic defending from Bournemouth. They're being asked more questions, it's fair to say, in this second half, but they remain resolute, and as things stand, Manchester United will be dropping yet more points. There is still 11 minutes to go, but it is Bournemouth 1 Manchester United 1.
Loads of football to get through this evening. There's a late kickoff tonight as well. That will be at 11:45 local time here in the UAE. Wolves against Tottenham. Before that, Arsenal against Liverpool is your 9:30 kickoff now here with the clocks changing. And of course, your Arsenal United against Watford, Everton against Brighton and Hove Albion, Cardiff City against Leicester City, and what promises to be a very emotionally charged game for all involved with that particular game. But Chris McCarthy, of all the 7 p.m. kickoffs, where are you taking us, Chris?
I'm taking you to a place that we have become awfully familiar with in the last couple of weeks, and I'm delighted to say that our good mucker Adam Bridge joins us on the line. And the first question I've got to ask Adam is he the programme director of, I'm not going to call it TalkSport, I'm going to call it West Ham Radio? We're off to the London Stadium once again. Adam Bridge, it's West Ham again.
It certainly is. Well, listen, there's a trough of great games, but this one has got to be, and it's only the beginning of November, but it's a crucial game for both these sides. You know, they're both better than their league position would suggest. They're both better than their current form would suggest. And a defeat for one of them today will start causing a few wobbles. You've got a Burnley side that can't defend for toffee this campaign. They've already conceded as many goals as they had by the 24th of January last year. And you've got a West Ham side who looked like they were putting things back on track, but they've lost three of their last four and need to get back to winning ways. So in that respect, I think we've probably picked for you today the most intriguing of our 3 o'clock kickoffs today.
Yeah, you've just about convinced me of that, I think, Adam. But talk to me about West Ham. What a bizarre season. Four defeats on the bounce to kick things off. They then steadied the ship. They win at Everton. They then had the draw against Chelsea, victory at Manchester United, or against Manchester United. They haven't won since. What can you put that down to? What is Manuel Pellegrini still struggling with at the London Stadium?
Well, I think there's a couple of issues right now. One of them, I think, is injuries. It's no surprise that we're relying very heavily on Arnautovic, and when he's not playing or he's carrying a niggle, and we've seen that actually in three of the last four home games, he's not managed to hit the target, and we've struggled consequently. He's, you know, the linchpin of this team. I think we found a shape that was quite settled. We looked good with Noble and Obiang midfield, then they lose Obiang, and Snodgrass has to come in to fulfil that role, and now they've lost Noble for three games. The loss of Yarmolenko is quite huge. So I think there's a lot of factors right now that are playing into the reason that they're not quite delivering. I thought against Spurs, they played well. They probably deserved the draw out of it. I think probably on the balance of the play, they were worthy prior to the red card of winning the game against Leicester last week. And again, if they'd got level in the first half in the cup game against Spurs, you could have potentially seen a slightly different result as well. So I don't think they're too far away, which in essence is what Pellegrini's saying. He just needs some of those big names to start firing. The defence seems to have sorted itself out in many ways, and now it's just a matter of those attacking players getting themselves in form. But I mean, they're missing seven potential first-teamers today, and for a club of the size, I know they spent a lot of money in the summer, that's a big miss for any team.
What about Burnley as well, Adam? Of course, perhaps don't win, and many admirers for the style. It is pretty direct under Sean Dyche, but when you consider the restrictions, certainly financially, that football club, what a job Sean Dyche has done. They finished seventh last season. Not quite clicking for them this, and the longer it goes, you start to suspect they might get dragged into a bit of a relegation battle. Their problems this season, what do you put that down to?
I think they were a little bit distracted by the Europa League. I think they were a little bit caught out by finishing seventh last season, having such a terrific campaign. It's his 250th league game in charge of Burnley today, and there are four or five players in the squad who were involved in that very first game way back when Sean Dyche first took the reins. So I think that tells you a lot about the philosophy and the ethos at the football club. And again, a bit like Eddie Howe, the job he's done there is quite superb. So whatever happens to them this year, you know, I don't think Sean Dyche can take any of the blame. I think when you are trying to make that leap and move into that next level, which having finished seventh last season, they were clearly trying to do with the Europa League, it's always going to test your resources. And I think that's been one of the problems. Defensively is their big issue this time around. There's no doubt about that. As I mentioned, they've conceded as many goals already as they had by the middle of January. So that's, I think, a clear sign, ultimately, that that's where the problems lie. And they're conceding goals from outside the box as well. So it looks like the team's potentially not working hard enough, not closing people down quickly enough, and that's not helping the rest of the team and the balance of the side.
If we can, Adam, let's widen the conversation out a little bit. Interested to see TalkSport front and centre of a little spat over the course of the past 48, 72 hours or so involving Gary Neville and Harry Redknapp. Gary Neville accusing Spurs of the past 30 years of being spineless. It's just dawned on me that I'm speaking to a West Ham fan about this. So put your professional hat on. Harry Redknapp coming out to say incredibly disrespectful of Gary Neville, pointing out the fact that he took over a decent Valencia team and was pretty wretched in the dugout over there at the Mestalla. What's your opinion of this? And I'll widen it even further, Adam. Pundits these days, sensationalism, do you feel that they are telling us, the punters, the truth in their summations, summarisations of the matches in which they're watching?
I'm a very big fan of Gary Neville. I think his analysis of the game is excellent. I think the way he understands it, the way he reads it, and the way he pulls a game apart is quite exceptional. I think to point at an individual's record as a manager as a form of criticism, I think is a little bit tricky when you've had some fairly kind of unspectacular spells in management yourself. If we want to talk about his time at Birmingham City and Queen's Park Rangers, and you'd argue his time at Southampton, and I say that, and I've got Franny Benali sat next to me. So, you know, all of those things mean that that was probably the wrong way to go about the argument, in my mind, from Harry. What he's saying about Spurs, again, it comes back to, what have they won? And the answer is, they've won nothing. And they continue to win nothing. And until they win trophies, I agree with the philosophy that, are they one of the big four? I don't think they are, because I don't think they are a team that can challenge to win the ultimate prizes. That may change this time around. You know, is Pochettino a great coach? He is an excellent coach. Has he done a terrific job based on the money they've spent, the wages they pay, compared to some of the other big teams? Absolutely. But if they want to go to that next level, they're not going to get there by piling themselves up with, you know, £500 million worth of debt for this new stadium. So all in all, I think Neville is right in some of his criticism, and it's based on fact. It's based on the fact they've not won trophies. I think Harry has picked the wrong kind of way to go about discrediting Gary, just because he didn't have a great spell as a coach at Valencia. That doesn't mean to say that he doesn't know what he's talking about, in the same way he also cited his time as England's number two. So is he also saying that Roy Hodgson's not a very good manager on that same basis? So I think it's a pretty pathetic argument, but actually I sit on the side of Gary in what he's saying, in the sense that Spurs have lacked that backbone and that strength to go on and do the deed and win trophies.
Interesting that from a West Ham fan, Adam. But I've got to ask as well, very quickly as well, got to get your thoughts ahead of this big one today as well. Before we do that and get the team news, I've got to ask another story that caught my eye. European Super League, some suggestion that the elite, the top elites, the Uniteds, the Cities, the Real Madrids of this world have been in a little bunker. They've been in a little room discussing this European Super League. Is it inevitable? Do you see it coming to fruition sooner rather than later?
I think it's inevitable that these conversations have taken place. I suspect they've probably been taking place for the last 25, 30 years. Will it come to fruition? I don't think it will. I think the Champions League, as it is, provides the spectacle that most people are after. And I think, you know, some people feel that was weakened when it's been expanded in the past, and it, you know, it's not just the Champions, but actually what it provides, the joy it provides, the fun it provides, the excitement when you see these big teams come head-to-head. If you had that two, maybe four times a year of Arsenal playing Barcelona, etc. You'd probably, if Arsenal included, of course, if we're talking big teams, that would, of course, as far as I'm concerned, just water it down. They want more cash. Ultimately, they'll end up getting more cash because each individual league cannot afford to lose that big team. So I don't think it'll happen. I'm not surprised the conversations are taking place. And for me, it's all part of this bigger plan for all of them to get a bigger share of their own individual pots.
Adam, you can. Adam, it's good to hear that you got Franny Benali alongside you. You can tell him that he's been spoken about in glowing terms in recent times. We've had his great mate and partner Matt Letizia out here for the last 9 days, and he was talking about Franny over the weekend. All very, very good. You can tell Franny from us. But in terms of team news for your game today, Adam, what does Pellegrini do about the suspension of Mark Noble?
Well, firstly, he's currently on Matt Letizia. I'm doing a dinner with him on Friday night, so I'm a bit concerned now that he's going to have a better suntan than me, which is slightly worrying. Let's have a look at the West Ham. What he's done again is he's gone with the Snodgrass option. So Obiang and Snodgrass look like they're going to play the two central midfield roles today, obviously with Declan Rice in that deep-lying role. Masuaku's on the bench today. Cresswell is fit after his injury, so he comes in at left-back today. And Dean Gunner gets another start out wide on the right-hand side with Anderson on the left, and Arnautovic is well enough to start the game today, of course, having been absent against Leicester last week. As for Burnley today, Robbie Brady made his first start, of course, since last November. He drops down to the bench today for Burnley today. He is replaced in the side by the returning Aaron Lennon. So it's really as you were for Burnley today, with Lowton, Tarkowski, me and Taylor at the back, Goodmanson, Defoe, Westwood and Lennon across the middle, with Vidra and Folks up front. And of course, Joe Hart returning to the London Stadium in goal this time for Burnley.
Interesting. Cannot wait for this one. It is our featured match. It is West Ham against Burnley. Last one from us, Adam. When you meet Mr. Letiz, say from Tom and I, just promise me you'll do this, Adam. Just say, hello, Phil Tufnell. He'll know what we mean, okay?
Well, he's not going to hit me. As long as he's not going to hit me for that, I'll do it.
He will not hit you. Just say, hello, Phil Tufnell from Chris and Tom, okay?
I will do that next Friday night. Don't you worry.
Man, Adam, enjoy the game. Looking forward to it. Adam Bridge, Franny Benali, they'll be in the commentary box. Our featured match, it is West Ham against Burnley. Top man, thanks, Adam.
Cheers, guys.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
News of a goal, Chris McCarty.
Indeed, 93 minutes on the clock. We go to the South Coast, the Vitality Stadium. It was Bournemouth 1, Manchester United 1. But I can tell you now, it's Bournemouth 1, Manchester United 2. And it's the substitute, Marcus Rashford. He was guilty of a horrible miss 15 minutes or so ago. But it is he that has popped up with what could prove to be the winner. Wonderful work down the left-hand side by Paul Pogba. He jinks to the right, he jinks to the left, eventually brings the ball to his left foot, gets the ball into the box. I think it's Nathan Ake. He sees the ball, he judges it wrong, the ball drops onto the chest of Marcus Rashford. For once he remains calm, he lets the Bournemouth defenders come across him, and then with the left foot, with Asmir Begovic flailing, he just slams it home into the bottom corner. There goes the full-time whistle. Jose Mourinho not hanging around. I'm not quite sure he'll be the most happy of men. Yes, okay, his team have won, but they were poor in that opening 45 minutes. Much better in the second. They huffed, they puffed, they had chances. Luke Shaw missed a gilt-edged opportunity, as did that man who's on the big screen, the match winner, Marcus Rashford. Jesse Lingard as well, just moments before Rashford popped up, had a wonderful opportunity as well. But right place, right time. Marcus Rashford has stolen the points for Manchester United. It's back-to-back wins. It's finished. Bournemouth 1, Manchester United 2.
Let's talk cricket now. England have drawn their final test warm-up as they complete their preparations ahead of the test series in Sri Lanka with a draw in their final warm-up match in Colombo. This follows on from India thrashing the West Indies to wrap up their series as well. And lest we forget, Mark Archer, there is a series ongoing here in the UAE.
Yeah, we're about to speak to a very special guest live from the New Zealand Black Caps camp. Let's just give you a bang-up to date score from what happened in the first two ODIs. Well, the second ODI was up at Dubai Sports Stadium, City last night, and the Pakistan had a final over victory against the Black Caps. Six wickets in the end, but two balls remaining. It's been two very close matches between Pakistan and New Zealand. Let's have a quick reminder of some of the highlights from last night's match.
Up in the air, and brilliant Williamson.
That sounded pretty sweet.
Crowd amping more. They want more.
And so does Hafiz. If you please. Oh, super striking. Mohamed Hafiz. Take a bow.
And now we can bring a very special guest joining us from the training session tonight up at Dubai Sports City at the Cricket Stadium. It's New Zealand fast bowler Lachie Ferguson. Lachie, welcome to the show.
G'day, fellas. How are we going?
Yeah, we're very good. How are you going? A tough loss last night. Two close games against Pakistan. How are the boys taking it?
Yeah, obviously a couple of very tight losses, which I guess it happens in T20, but you got to tip your hat to the Pakistan team. They've been playing some consistent and extremely good cricket, especially in their own home conditions. And, you know, there's a lot of positive impact from how the boys played the last couple of games. And I know it just came down to sort of the last over both times. And I guess that's international sport. But, you know, there's a lot of positives we can take sort of going into tomorrow's night game.
A new coach for the Black Caps, Gary Stead. He's not called Naughty Boy Nets, has he? On a day off, you guys should be watching the rugby down here at Barasti.
Yeah, it's a shame. I guess you can't be down there joining your fellows in person, but we've got to put the work in when we can. So I've got training session today, which is good. The lads, some of them have taken a few hours off this afternoon, but most of us are down here having a bowl and having a bat, making sure we work on, you know, little parts so we can hopefully get across the line that last over.
And Lachie, what was the difference? Two very close matches. Pakistan so good in these conditions in the UAE. What do you have to do a little bit better to maybe get up and get a win in the third T20 International tomorrow?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We've talked a lot in the camp over both games, and it literally is, as you said, it's just 5%, you know, and one or two plays here and there, and you sort of you win those games. And you know, the boys have got so close that it could have gone either way both times. And, unfortunately, went Pakistan's way, and you got to give them credit under a lot of pressure to get across the line both times. But we feel we're doing a lot of right things, and I guess it's just that 5% extra to take to get us across the line. But the boys will be fizzing for tomorrow, obviously another opportunity, and hopefully we can put a win on the board.
And Lachie, it's the third T20 International tomorrow. Then you move into the one-day series. You're an important part of that New Zealand Black Caps one-day side. I guess, in many ways, everyone in the world of cricket have got an eye on that World Cup next year in the UK, in England, on the World Cup starting April, May time. You'll be looking forward to impress new coach Gary Stead and making sure that you force your way into that team to go to the UK for that World Cup next year.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, World Cup's exciting, whatever sport it is. I know the New Zealand public's definitely keen for the World Cup coming up next year, but I know myself and a lot of the boys, we're sort of taking it game by game, and it's actually still quite a long way in terms of cricket days being played until the World Cup. And I guess you want to kind of be peaking for that time and making sure that you sort of your game out, and the team's a good flow by then. But at this stage, we're tackling the Pakistanis and the UAE, which is pretty tough challenge in itself, obviously how good they go over here, and then we'll take it step by step back to the home summer in New Zealand, and then yeah, we'll go from there. But exciting times, and keep working away, but just taking it game by game at this stage. Once again, tomorrow night it's a good opportunity to get the winning started for our summer, and then we'll go from there.
Lachie, good to see you in the New Zealand colours, of course, here in the UAE against Pakistan. I just want to get your thoughts on your season with Derbyshire as well. A bit of opportunity for you to play some limited overs cricket over in the UK. Do you take a lot of experience from that, and good experience moving into a World Cup year?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, New Zealand conditions are probably not too dissimilar to England, but, I mean, there are elements that are a lot different, so I guess going over there for experience, I was there for 3 months, which was just fantastic, and Derby looked after me extremely well, and I'm just trying to build up my experience overseas and obviously put my hand up for next year. But it's also a good opportunity to work on my T20 game. Last season I didn't get a whole lot of chances, I just seemed to be timing it with the 1 days and 4 days, so I want to keep developing my T20 game. And yeah, I had a great time in Derby, and we did pretty well for us, I guess, a minnow side. And you know, I'll hopefully look to go back and maybe play some T20 next year. I mean, it's a good experience, but I had a great time, and, you know, obviously I was pretty pleased with the results I had.
Now, Lockie, you're a man that likes to bowl fast when you're given the opportunity, but unfortunately the conditions here in the UAE tend to favour sort of the pitches tend to be a lot slower and spin comes into play a lot. What are you learning about bowling, your variations here? Are you being tested with all your skill set really for the ODIs and for the T20s?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it's sort of horses for courses, particularly in cricket and in the UAE and other subcontinent countries, it tends to suit the spinners a bit more. But I'm developing ways. I was here with the New Zealand A side and played a few one days and T20s here. And you can really work on some different tactics and sort of, I guess, thinking outside the box rather than the stock standard that works back home. And, you know, I've been working on some different things and actually just trying to attack through the middle, still using pace and using the variable bounce that you tend to get over here. And, of course, you know, variations come into play, but I think in the UAE, for me, it tends to be the bowlers who make the least mistakes and are most patient tend to have the most success. So it's not so much about blasting teams out, but more about trying to be as patient as you can over here. So a little bit of a mindset change, but, you know, it's all about adapting in different countries. And it's just great to be over here and experience a different culture and a different style of play.
Well, Lockie, we do thank you for your time. We do understand that we are keeping you from practice, so we better let you go. And otherwise,
yeah, no, I can talk
Gary
a lot.
Stead and Macca and those guys will be looking over you saying, you know, we need a fast bowler in the nets here. But hopefully you'll get a win tomorrow night, and then obviously the ODI series starts against Pakistan. Now, listen, we do want to get you down here next Saturday. Massive match. Your All Blacks are going to be at Twickenham taking on England. Hopefully, I'm not sure the schedule, but hopefully we can get a few of your boys down here on the show live. It'd be wonderful to see you down at Barasti. And good luck for the week. You can come on down and watch the All Blacks.
Yeah, no, let's have the stars aligned for that. That'd be great. And then we'll touch base then. But thanks a lot. And hopefully we get a win across the line for your boys tomorrow night.
Yeah, thanks very much. That's Lockie Ferguson, fresh from the training session of the Black Caps. They're taking on Pakistan tomorrow. Pakistan have won the first two T20 internationals. Third match is tomorrow up at Dubai International Cricket Stadium at Dubai Sports City. And it's been a very close contest so far. Black Caps be looking to get their season underway with a win, Tom.
Really appreciate the time of Lockie there. Also appreciate Gary allowing that to happen as well. Any other thank yous to the team as well? Because I know there's a number of people who have been making that one happen. It's not that often you get to speak to players when they're actually in the nets as well.
Now, big thanks to Willie Nichols, the media manager. We've been playing tag all day trying to get either Gary Stead, who's the coach, on board, or Craig McMillan, a couple of guys I used to play with, to get them done. But it's a very busy time, obviously, practice tonight, and then that T20 International tomorrow, and then ODI starting this week. So hopefully, if I've got the day off next Saturday, we'll get a few of the boys down and watch the rugby.
That would be brilliant, and I just really appreciate Gary agreeing to do that. I mean, to get access into an actual training session is almost unheard of. So good on you, Arch, as well, for pulling a few strings and making that one happen. A huge thanks to New Zealand cricket team for making it happen as well. I hope we haven't taken up too much of... But mind you, Lockie said he was happy to talk for hours, so I don't know. I think he was done, wasn't he?
And he's a guy, he loves to run in off a long run and bowl really quick, and he's probably not finding his wickets here too conductive to fast bowling, so he's probably happy just to take a bit of a spell and chat to us.
We'll take a short break when we come back. Rugby.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
So well done to Manchester United. All that pressure paid off in the final seconds of their game with that Marcus Rashford winner in injury time, seeing them seal all 3 points against Bournemouth. Heartbreak for Eddie Howe's team, who were belligerent towards the end but then just didn't have enough. It is Manchester United who win 2-1 there. Drama up in Scotland as well. Chris McCarty.
Indeed, yes. When you last crossed to me, it was St Mirren 0, Rangers 0. It's been a chastening week, a trying week for Rangers boss Steven Gerrard. What I can tell you, though, he will be smiling on his Saturday evening. Why will it finish? St Mirren 0, Rangers 2. Two goals in the final 10 minutes. Daniel Candeias with the first on the 80th minute mark. It was Alfredo Morelos as well who added the second deep into injury time. There was still time for Candeias to get his second yellow card, so Rangers finished the day with 10 men, but more importantly, they have finished the day with the 3 points. Finished then up in Paisley, just outside Glasgow. St Mirren 0, Rangers 2.
Cheers for that. And it was one apiece in the early kick. kickoff over in La Liga. Now let's turn our attention to rugby. It's been a big weekend of rugby here in the UAE. We've had the Junior Festival down in Abu Dhabi. All the regular and regional clubs have been in action as well at various festivals. But it's also the start of the Autumn International. And well, one man who will be listening on with interest to that Manchester United result, but also has been committed to the cause. He gets his he's getting his debut at Twickenham today. He's been on the captain's run already. He's pulled up all right for that. He's passed his late fitness test as well. He is bang up to fitness levels. He's ready and raring to go to walk through the tunnel onto the hallowed turf at Twickenham. It is, of course, our very own Carlos van Rosenfeld. CVR, Twickers, how do you find it?
Good afternoon, Tom. Absolutely fantastic. The atmosphere here at the moment is electric. And, of course, we're about 20 minutes out from the big kickoff. Everybody's making their way to the stadium. And, conditions are absolutely fantastic. It's going to be a dry day. So we're looking forward to some open running rugby.
And, Carlos, I guess you made your way with many of the South Africans that live and work in London. How is the feeling? Do they feel they have a chance to take the English scalp later today at Twickenham?
Yeah, well, we're very fortunate to be staying in the same hotel as the Boks and chatting to a couple of the lads this morning. They are feeling very, very confident. Sio Kolisi says he's quite happy with the way they progressed through the week. The interesting thing for South Africa is, of course, going to see how Evan van Sale slots in that scrum off this afternoon. It will be his first time that he's actually starting in the number 9 jersey. Lucky for him, conditions will be dry. But, you know, him and Pollard have played together at the Bulls together, but there will be a lot of pressure on him, as I say, starting at scrum off this afternoon. And then, of course, big news is Luit de Jong is back in on the bench, and chatting to him a bit this morning, he says, you know, he's just happy to be back in the box fold once again.
And CVR, look, Rassie Erasmus has got missing a couple of these key guys, particularly who have played well in the last couple of weeks in those matches against the All Blacks, scrum half, Faf de Klerk, as you say, and Willie LaRue. But there are some able replacements there. There is some depth there, and he doesn't have to deal with the injury problems that Eddie Jones had to deal with many players missing through injury, the likes of Manu Tuilagi even pulling off the bench, pulling up lame in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I think, Rassie Erasmus has said that he's quite happy with the people that have slotted into those places. You mentioned Buddy LaRue, a big, big test for Damien Willemster, a youngster that's made his debut at Slythe. He's known as a Slythe. He'll be playing at fullback today, and especially with Owen Farrell in the number 10 jersey, I do believe he will be tested. On the England side, as you mentioned, Arch, Manu Tuilagi has been the big talk of the week, that he's once again, he just seems to stay injured. But to me, from an England perspective, it will be interesting to see how Farrell goes at 10 and if that's the combination that that Eddie Jones wants to settle with, keeping him at 10 and then bringing Ford off the bench.
CVR, quick question from me if I can. Where will this game be won and lost then from a Springbok perspective? And I've got to ask as well, are you confident today going into this one?
Yeah, I think we're pretty confident. I think the big thing for the Springboks is that they will have to get over them with a tight 5 perspective. Peter Steffatoy moves from 7 into the lock forward. And I think if the forwards can lay the good foundation for South Africa, I believe that's where we're going to win it. We have to win it up front. So, the forwards will have to be dominant from the start. England are going to come back hard at them. But I think the Boks, looking at that forward pack, I think they should be able to get it over the English.
And CVR, we are now 1 year away exactly from the 2019 World Cup final. This weekend in Tokyo in 12 months, we'll see the final. England could be there. South Africa could be there. England seem to be on a downward trending motion at the moment. Rassie Erasmus has got the Springboks trending upwards. Do you think at the moment South Africa are slightly ahead of their position where they want to be as compared to England going 12 months away from that World Cup?
Yeah, you know, Arch, things change very, very quickly in international rugby. And I mean, you know, 12 months ago, we were having a totally different conversation about England. And I think the big thing for England is they need to get these combinations right. South Africa, in all honesty, haven't really been doing all that well. They had the big win over the All Blacks, which has given the whole nation, you know, a lot of confidence. But I think at this moment in time, I do agree with you. I think there's more question marks around Eddie Jones at the moment than what there is around Rassie Erasmus.
CBR, we've been talking about the Springbok start-up. Obviously, silly rules coming into play, not allowing Faf de Pree and Willie LaRue to play today because they're still with their clubs. Having said that, you're bringing some great players into the fold at the moment. It's an exciting Springboks starting 15, this one. We were talking about the two wings that you've got earlier on today and the fact that they are possibly a couple of the most exciting in the world at the moment. And is this a resurgent? Is this optimism in South African and Springbok rugby? Is that in line with the new captain as well? Because it seems that since Khaleesi's come in, there seems to be this new belief.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Sia has made a massive difference. And Tom, you know, you just hit on the word belief there. And I think that's basically what has come back to the box. And also, they're quite a youthful group. And Sia, it just seems to me, has got the boys together. Once again, they're believing in themselves. And, you know, as I said, they're playing some very, very good rugby. Minkosi, of course, comes back into the team today on the right wing. A very, very exciting player, as well as Apiwa Diante. So we're expecting them to do a lot of damage this afternoon. As you say, very quick feet. But I think, you know, hats off to what Sia Khaleesi and Rossi has done, because he just seemed to install a lot of confidence back into the box, which they have lacked before.
Looking forward to this one. It's England against South Africa. And as we well know, you South African sportsmen, you know, you play hard, but you're fair at the end of the day. You're quick to admit your mistakes, aren't you? Much like your former Springbok captain, Corne Krieger, very quick to apologise for his mistake. Oh, hang on. It took him 16 years. What's all this about on Twitter?
Yeah, old Corne. Put it this way, Tom, he's always been a bit of a slow thinker, and it's taken him 16 years to come out and say how he really feels.
Now, CVR, we better let you go, because you're going to have to find your seat there at Fortress Twickenham, get your flag and your scarf, and get you ready for the anthem. But quick prediction from you before this before kickoff.
Because the conditions are dry today, I kind of fancy the box for six.
6-point victory for the Springboks there. Well, thank you very much, CVR. You go and enjoy yourself. Now, remember, when you're heading home, the station you have to get to is Twickenham, heading towards Richmond, not the other way, because we don't want you ending up in Bristol or Bath.
I'll try my best, Arch. Thanks.
There we go. CVR live from London at Twickenham ahead of the 7 p.m. kickoff. Of course, it's South Africa taking on the might of England. Eddie Jones with all sorts of injury problems. It's a much more settled South African team. But get on down to Barasti, 7 p.m. England versus South Africa. It's going to be a cracking match, Tom.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
Bundesliga is underway, and so is the first of the Autumn Internationals. I should say the second of the Autumn Internationals, the first of the European Autumn Internationals, you know what I mean. It's Wales against Scotland, that one's just got underway. In the meantime, though, we're getting ready for our 7 o'clock kickoffs, and an emotionally charged Cardiff is where we start. Cardiff City manager Neil Warnock makes one change from last weekend's 4-1 defeat against Liverpool at Anfield. Harry Arter's fit again, so he replaces Junior Hoylett, which means Etheridge, Ekeluyi Amanga, Morrison, Bamba, Bennett, Gunnarsson, Kamarasa, Arter, Reid, Murphy, Patterson are your starting 11. However, lots of interest on what is going on with Leicester. Chris McCarty.
Indeed, and I can tell you that Claude Puel has named probably the strongest team at his disposal today for Leicester. It's Kasper Schmeichel, despite what has been an emotional week for all the players, let's be honest, but it has been specifically so for Kasper Schmeichel, very close to the chairman and the owner, of course. Ricardo Pereira starts at right back. It's Wes Morgan, the skipper, alongside Harry Maguire, Ben Chilwell in at left back. The midfield two, Nampali Mendy and Wilfred Ndidi. Then comes Mark Albright and James Maddison and Damari Gray. And then up front, the number nine, Jamie Vardy. Each and every one of that starting 11, including the players on the bench, will of course be looking for what will be an emotionally charged day, but they will be looking to end the day with the 3 points for their fallen owner.
Let's get up to Newcastle now. Rafa Benitez has decided that Salomon Rondon is the best option as Newcastle search for goals. The Venezuelan striker replaces Oyoze Perez in the only change from their last time out. That was that goalless draw at Southampton. Rondon makes his first Premier League start since the 22nd of September. They take on Watford. How do they line up?
Yeah, it's as you were for Watford. Ben Foster in goals. It's Kiko Femina at right back, Adrian Mariapa, Craig Cathcart and Jose Halibus. It's then Will Hughes, Doucouré, Capoue and Pereira. Those four have been ever present this season for Watford. A real good midfield quartet, that. And then comes a front two that didn't start the season,
but in recent weeks they've come into some form as well. Gerard Deulofeu, the Spaniard, wearing the number 7 shirt alongside the wonderfully named Isaac Success. Andre Gray on the bench, no Troy Deeney, the skipper, he's still injured. So that is the way Watford line up. I'm expecting a good game that up at St James's Park, and all the pressure very much on Newcastle.
Everton against Brighton, I've got the easy job here. Goodison Park, both teams, or certainly the home team, is unchanged from last week. And the only sort of talking point there for me is the fact that that man, Yerry Mina, has he arrived? Well, the £27.19 million signing from the summer in August makes his debut on the bench. And the former Barcelona player could make his first competitive appearance for the Toffees. Been some time coming, Chris McCarthy.
It certainly has for Yerry Mina. Yeah, we wondered, or certainly Everton fans could be forgiven for asking, you know, Yerry who, because we haven't seen him for this long. But he is on the bench, and that is good news for Everton moving forward. Like the look of that Everton team as well, real balance to it. Whether they can pick up the 3 points remains to be seen, because they are up against a well-drilled Brighton and Hove Albion side. Matthew Ryan this past week linked with Manchester United is the Australian goalkeeper. He is in sticks. Then comes Bruno, Duffy, Dunk and Bong. Then it's Jabakash, Stevens, Kyle and Izquierdo. Solly March once again will be ploughing that little role in behind. I say ploughing, that's Glenn Murray that will do all the ploughing. Solly March is the little man, the diminutive little English under 21 international. He'll look to get on the ball and make things happen for Brighton. But again, expect that one to be a good game. I fancy Everton just to sneak it.
You've had your West Ham and Burnley team news. That came a little earlier on. There's been a goal over in the German Bundesliga. Augsburg have taken an early lead against Nuremberg. No other goals to report there. Real Madrid in action against Real Valladolid. They've got some building to do. I've just been having a look at the La Liga table. I mean, we think that the Premier League table is looking a bit strange at the moment. La Liga?
Yeah, La Liga very much so. It's good news though, Tom. It means that we're talking about different clubs, and it just gives you an opportunity, certainly gives the clubs an opportunity, maybe to go and make something special happen this season.
I mean, yeah, we're making a lot about the fact that Real Madrid are in ninth place, but when you look down to 17th, Villarreal, you know, you look at the quality of this at Villarreal, they're one place off the relegation zone at the moment.
And Villarreal are a very good team, and when you consider as well that Real Madrid, what are they, 7 points off the top? Santiago Solari, caretaker boss, now in. Julian Lopetegui's services dispensed of this past week after that 5-1 gubbing at the hands of their great rivals Barcelona last weekend. So yeah, La Liga table looks a bit bizarre. It will shake out, I'm sure. Disappointing result for Atletico Madrid today, that 1-1 draw with Leganes, which does mean that Barcelona 1 point clear of Atletico. They've got their game in hand. Sevilla a point further back. Then you've got Espanyol on 18. So it is a bunched top of the table. I mean, Real Madrid all the way down in ninth. They've lost 4 of their opening 10 games, for goodness sake. So they need a victory tonight. I expect them to get it at home to Real Valladolid. I'm expecting a bit of a... I'm expecting a bit of a reaction from that El Clasico defeat. I really am, and I think Real might just pour in the goals tonight.
Real Madrid against Real Valladolid, that one kicks off at 7:15. A little later on, 9:30 this evening, Valencia against Girona. And then we got Rayo Vallecano taking on Barcelona at 11:45 this evening. We're underway over in Italy. In fact, there's been goals. I'll get Chris McCarthy's thoughts on that one, just to let you know that Fiorentina take on Roma. And then Juve are in action against Cagliari a little later on.
Yeah, halftime at the Giuseppe Meazza. Of course, it is Inter Milan that are taking charge of that particular stadium. San Siro and AC Milan play Giuseppe Meazza when Inter are at home over there in Italy. I can tell you goals from Roberto Gagliardini and Matteo Politano have given Inter a 2-0 lead. They've started the season so well, haven't they, under Luciano Spalletti, and with victory today, given the fact that Juventus play a little later this evening, so they do, they're at home to Cagliari. Win for Inter would take them level with Napoli on 25 points, Juventus 3 points further ahead. Of course, you'd expect Juve at home against a struggling Cagliari side to get the victory tonight. That would then increase their lead back up to 6 points, but Inter, Napoli, don't rule them out, certainly both in good form. And Inter look as if they're cruising to yet another victory. 2-0 at halftime.
What's happening in the rugby, Mark Archer? We're underway.
Yeah, two matches in the Autumn Internationals are kicking off shortly. One has just started in the Principality Stadium in Cardiff. Wales are hosting Scotland, and it's Wales who have struck first. It's Lee Halfpenny, one of the most reliable goal kickers in world rugby, has given Wales the lead with a solid swing of his right boot. It's a penalty to Wales. So Wales lead Scotland 3-0. All gets underway at Twickenham in about 5 minutes' time, where England will face South Africa.
Paris Martyrs ongoing at the moment as well. I'm sorry we haven't given enough due news to this particular story over the last 3 hours. It's been a busy old show, but second seed Novak Djokovic will face the third seed Roger Federer in the semi-finals of the Paris Masters. Fascinating, isn't it, the world of tennis and how two of the sort of standard bearers of the sports are still there standing at the end of what has been a grueling season.
It just underlines what class acts they are, yeah. And that one getting underway in about 35 minutes time, Tom. What I can tell you from earlier today, Karen Khachanov has reached the final. He has somewhat surprisingly defeated Dominic Thiem, certainly surprising that he beat him in two clean sets as well, 6-4, 6-1. So Karen Khachanov in the final, Roger Federer taking on Novak Djokovic in the semi, the second semi, as I say, in about 35 minutes time. Expect Novak Djokovic to come through that one. And of course, Novak Djokovic returning to the world number one spot. Rafa Nadal had to pull out of the Paris Masters. Whether he makes the WTA Tour finals remains to be seen. And I do wonder if he will make that big Saudi exhibition match against Novak Djokovic as well.
Other news throughout the week as well, of course. We've seen the culmination of the World Series. We're talking about one of the longest games ever this time last week. Did that play on the Dodgers? Who knows? But it is the Red Sox who are champions again.
Certainly is, Mark Archer.
Yeah, big win, great win for the Red Sox. Best team in the regular season, but also the best dominant team in the World Series. Comprehensive victory against the LA Dodgers. They won the series 4-1. Comfortable victory for them in the end. But I can tell you, Tom, that the World Series trophy has been damaged with a can of beer in the parade. Marring the victory for the Boston's victory. Just news coming there if you want to, in their victory parade there. So obviously the Red Sox players and the fans are celebrating throughout the city of Boston there, but there has been damage done to the trophy. Oh my.
Indeed there has. You've got Ireland against France in the European Championship. This is Rugby League. That takes place this afternoon as well over in Saintry. Also taking place in that particular tournament. All sorts of games to look forward to in that. And that's the world of Rugby League. So plenty to talk about, plenty to look forward to. We're watching pictures of the teams coming out at various venues around the UK ahead of the 7 o'clock kickoffs, and all eyes will be here. We are. We've got pictures coming in from Cardiff here. This is going to be fascinating. There's that element of voyeurism that I don't want to look, but the other side is how the Leicester team react, because there Absolutely. Is going to be a minute silence. They are going to have the cameras of the world on them out there, and it's going to be fascinating to see how they deal with it.
Absolutely, and what a touch it is. It's actually given me goosebumps just looking at the pictures from Cardiff City Stadium, where the Cardiff City fans, they've created a banner, RIP Vichai. They've got the Leicester flag, they've got the Leicester badge, sorry, with the Thai flag as its background. Beautiful touch that, and again, I say it time and time again, you're rivals for 90 minutes, but after that, football and community at times like this has a wonderful ability to close rank, and we have been there, you know, the clubs have been there in support of Leicester, the players, the city as well, and what has been such a tragic time. And you're absolutely right, there will be the watching eyes of the world will be on this for reasons that you said, voyeurism. It's to see, you know, it's will be an emotional time. Yeah. And well, let's see if Leicester City, and I think we all...
And it's difficult as well. I mean, to take Warnock's point, you know, Warnock didn't think this game would go ahead. Yeah. It's going to be a difficult team for the opposite time for the opposition as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, just how hard do you go at Leicester?
Exactly. How do you play it? Yeah. I think that's a great point. And I think you would even find, you'd probably find some Cardiff fans who, if you were to ask them today, if your team lose to Leicester, then they would be like, you know what, it's a game of football at the end of the day. And I think that's part of the intrigue as we see yet another banner being unfurled. The Leicester badge, the Cardiff badge, the Thai flag there again, and RIP Vichai. So wonderful touch from the Cardiff fans, but of course all the talking will stop, and it's up to Leicester and Cardiff to hopefully put on a show that Vichai himself would have absolutely loved over the course of the next 90 minutes or so.
We will watch on with interest on that particular game, as we will, of course, all the games that are taking part in the Premier League. If you want to stay on top of those goals, keep it locked here on Dubai i103.8. We will wrap things up down here and hand over to Adam Bridge and Franny Benali, who will talk you through West Ham against Burnley. But as we mentioned, any goals in any of the other games will be reported right here on Dubai I-103.8. Stay tuned straight after that. It's a great game to look forward to a little later on. And, of course, two games, late games in the Premier League as well. Chris McCarty, thanks very much indeed to you.
Thank you very much, Tommy.
I enjoyed that one. Thanks very much indeed to you, Archie Boy.
Thank you, Tom. Are you staying around watch rugby?
If that's all right with you, do you mind?
Yeah, it's all right. If and be on you, though, of course.
I'm there. I'll go there and I'll get a couple of cans of Diet Coke now.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
4001, if you would like to have your say. Actually, don't bother because we're leaving now. thanks very much indeed for everyone. We'll be back next Friday. No, Saturday. What are we talking about?
You'll pick it up just on the agenda
right,
tomorrow
bye.
Morning.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.